The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
And intern Dan.
In the house! Welcome to the house, Dan.
Thank you.
How's it going?
It is great.
I think we've maybe mentioned you on the podcast. I'm not sure.
We have.
You have.
Your
have.
Reputation probably precedes you regardless.
Of course.
Why don't you tell our audience just a little bit about you so they can feel like they know you, like a friend and a friend.
Well, I grew up in the great state of Oregon, moved my way out east here to Greenville. I've been here for the last,
A while.
10 years.
Wow. It's been 10, yeah.
I have a wife. I have some kids. I love board games. Initially got in with Catan, and I thought, man, what are all these weirdos doing? but it was this whole new world once I got into it. And like many, then Dominion. I would say deck builders are probably where I love to play games. So okay. Marvel Legendary.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that kind of game.
Very cool.
They're coming out with a new Legendary, I heard. Ant-Man?
They are. Ant-Man. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Cool. Right up your alley. Very cool. We've known Dan for a while. Some of us. I think Kevin and Melissa maybe just met him semi-recently, but we've known Dan for a good while. And we've been to some cons a couple times together. And so we, with Tantrum Con, ta-da, coming in February 15th, we decided we could use as much help as we could get. And so don't worry, all you Larry fans, he's still probably around.
Oh, yeah. But Larry's the one that doesn't like patchwork.
Yeah, are you sure we didn't fire him?
Last week, Dan's
still on the fence about patchwork, I think.
That's right. I have to play it.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be the main determinant.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, cool. So tonight we've been hanging out. Dan was here. We had some other folks over as well. We've been playing some games. What did we have out on the table? What were you guys playing?
The first game that we played was Wang Do, which is an Essen release from Mandu Games. Dan helped, or Dan was part of that. We played that with Brian and Valerie. Whoop, throw that on the, I'll throw that on there. As you could hear, they're heavy bears.
Oh, yeah. They're interesting. They're not, what is the material they're made out of?
I know, it's like almost like a rubbery in
they
a way.
They remind me of like little eraser toppers that you would put on your pencils.
Exactly.
But they're not like, they're still heavy duty. I don't know. It's like, they're not normal plastic for sure. Yes. They've got a different texture, which is
so the in the game, you are collecting sets of different tokens, and you're sort of, and the way that you get those sets of tokens, those tokens, is by basically building a route on this board. So it's got a pretty cool route, but it's not like you're putting same colored bears next to each other. You have to play different colored, and when you place those bears next to the different colors, the payment is what the colors are that are surrounding the bear. So
interesting.
What do you think, Dan?
I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. There was strategy to it, but you didn't have to sit there and agonize over every single move. And if you, end of the day, if you weren't sure, I'll just draw three out of the bag.
Yeah, your turns are pretty simple, or choices. Are you either picking bears or playing bears?
Right.
So,
what were you guys talking about the color scheme on it? I heard that conversation. I don't know what it was. Just that it was different?
Yeah, it's black, blue, orange, and white.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
No, we were talking, that's the next game I'm talking about, is a color scheme.
Just kidding. All right, so the other game, what else were you talking about?
Dan learned.
I learned Embark.
Oh, yeah.
By TMG. Fun little game. It's, I think we played it in, what, maybe 40 minutes or so?
Yeah.
So a lot of fun. I'm not even sure how, there's a bidding mechanic to it to get your sailors onto these islands and get yourselves points.
Secret bidding.
Secret bidding, yeah.
Yeah.
And then some worker placement, maybe some area control, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's got a similar mechanic, I think, kind of to like Imhotep, where you're trying to get your pieces out onto the board and then sail them to specific locations and stack them. But I did feel like the secret part was pretty cool, and each of the like places on the boat also dictate where you get to go on the island. So I don't know, there's a lot of different options going on. I think Kevin won. Did you win? He kind of used the ore collecting.
I tried
route,
to diversify.
What are they called?
Ore.
The ore, yeah. But I also was able to.
But he didn't go overboard.
I didn't go overboard. That was the key. Right. I was able to spread myself out enough that way. So.
Yeah, it was fun. It played pretty quick too. Like it I didn't did, feel yeah. like we were.
Yeah, once we got through that first round when you guys were trying to figure out what was going on, then it really just started clicking along.
Yeah, and this is the new Embark is a new game from Tasty Minstrel Games, TMG.
And
yeah,
that was already published, right?
It just published.
It's in the same kind of world as Harbor and Harvest with their little troll-like creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, same universe, same art style. Very cool.
And the reason that the colors came up, because the different player colors are, like, pastel-y.
Yeah.
Oh, and, like, pinkies.
Then you have black.
That's true. So black, pink, and blue, and, like a yellow.
Yellow and green. Yeah.
So. Nice little scheme they had going on. The other thing that we played tonight was their Roll and Write, which was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Railroad Inc.
We played the Deep Blue edition of Railroad Inc. There's also a... Blazing Red edition.
Are they identical other than the color scheme?
They have different expansion content in them. Oh.
And you can put them together to make a bigger
The purple
game.
Edition?
Oh, that's cool.
Well, red and blue. You can play 12 players if you put them together.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Cool. And that's from CMON?
That's from CMON, yeah. You roll the dice, and there are four dice, and they have different railroad and
highway
routes. Different configurations on each side, and then you place that somewhere on your map, and there's rules on what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, and then the player with the best configuration at the end wins.
Which was Sarah.
Yeah. Good job, Sarah.
Although that math was a little shady for a while.
Okay, I accidentally added my negative points.
She, like, destroyed me by, like, 40 points, and I was like, what? And then she was like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, it was only -5, not +5, but I was still way ahead.
It was, like, a swing of 10 points there.
Melissa and I were pretty close.
Yeah.
Sorry, Will.
No. That was fun. We played a prototype this week. We don't have to talk about it too much, but Welcome to Dino World, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also,
another roll
not a roll and write, but was a roll and write?
Yeah.
Roll
dice.
Yeah, but not custom dice, just pips, which was cool. We had a lot of fun with that one, too.
That's coming out sometime in the future. I thought it was in October, but
next maybe, couple
I'm
weeks.
I'm sure we'll talk about
it
more in depth. But a pretty cool one there for sure.
Yes. And then Melissa and Valerie and I also played another prototype, Extraordinary Adventures Pirates from Forbidden Games.
Cool.
That looked pretty cool. That was by Glenn Drover. It's got a massive map, and you're trying to work your way through the different trade routes and make it to Trinidad at the end of through the Caribbean.
Cool. Yeah. So before we get any further, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsor.
So we wanted to give a shout out to our regular show sponsors. We have Boardwalk, our purveyors of fine games. We love Boardwalk, our local game store. And
friendly.
And they're friendly, too. Yes, friendly. And
I was just there on this past Saturday, and they were putting up all their Halloween decorations.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to come back and play some scary games coming up real soon here.
Yes. And then also we wanted to give a shout out to Bezier. You already know that they've already joined us for Tantrum Con. They're one of our sponsors and sent us a whole bunch of New York Slice Pizza Party games.
We need to talk about some storage plans before we get to Tantrum Con, because I'm going to have so many boxes in my dining room.
That's right.
Play to wins and giveaways and tournament games.
Will and I just had a really cool phone call that's super secret right now.
Yeah.
But some stuff for the premium badge people.
Oh, man.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. If you are considering getting your ticket, it is totally now worth getting your premium badge because we've got some cool people jumping on board and stuff
and
for that.
And even just a regular badge, I think we talked with one of our sponsor vendors who will be giving us 60 games for our play to win.
Sweet.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
So
I think basically everyone that comes will probably get a game.
Yes.
Yeah, you will
at
walk
this point,
away empty handed.
We have 5,000 people come.
No.
If it's under that,
then you
number,
won't all get something, but we'll love you so much.
Yes.
That next year.
No, and then, of course, we want to give a shout out to Game Toppers LLC. If you're watching on Facebook right now, we are sitting around it. And it's.
We're all stroking it like, it's so pretty.
Yeah, Kevin does great work with Game Toppers and has some new stuff coming down the line soon that we will share with you very soon.
Yeah, very awesome. Cool. We've also got Final Frontier as one of our sponsors. Their game, Rise to Nobility, the expansion,
is ending the TED today.
Yep, so you're not going to see it. And you missed out. It's your fault.
Those of you who are listening.
And then the Game Steward is one of our sponsors as well. They bring games that were on Kickstarter back to an online retail location so that you can then get a hold of them if you missed the Kickstarter, which is brilliant. So check out the Game Steward. All right, so I think from here we're ready to roll into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
In this episode, we are going to be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of October 22nd, 2018. We've got a comical dexterity dungeon crawl and an asymmetrical game and tile placement.
All right, so who's going to get us started? Melissa, do you want to jump in?
All right. On October 23rd, we have Skulk Hollow. This is published by Pencil First Games and designed by Keith Mateka. And it is a two-player asymmetric tactical combat game. But really, one player is playing these cute little fox small clans with cute little meeples. And then the other player is the guardian who has awoken, and it's this big, huge creature.
Oh.
No, no, there's like a bear creature and a bird creature and an octopusy like creature. Anyway,
Cthulhu.
And they have these huge, really cool shaped meeples for them, and the two players are basically trying to destroy each other because only one can
truly survive.
And each player has their own set of cards that have movement and actions that you can play. And the little foxen people are trying to actually jump onto the guardian. There's a separate...
Feeble?
No.
That didn't work.
So your little fox meeples are actually jumping onto the guardian, which is a separate board. And then you can move on that board to attack certain areas on the creature. So one of the guardians, Grack, has the option to throw or to swing. And if you do enough damage to that area, then that player who's playing the guardian can't take that action anymore. Because it's basically like you've injured him enough that he can't swing anymore or do something. But the guardian does have ways to heal. So it's this really kind of tight push and pull of the two characters trying to take over each other. Kevin and I have done a video for this, and it's going to be on YouTube, so you can kind of see what our thoughts are on the game. But it's two players, plays in about 30 minutes.
Sure.
So it's pretty quick. There are several different guardians, so the guardian player can try different types of guardians each game, and then for the foxes there are different leaders, so even if you play the same character or the same side a lot, there's still variability.
I don't know if you said this or not, but I like the different cards that have different uses on them.
Right. Most of the cards have at least two options, and you can pick which one you want to use for the action that you're going to take. So that is Skulk Hollow from Pencil First Games, coming October 23rd. Will, what do you have?
So I've got one that is hilarious.
It's hilarious to you.
It's hilarious to me. I'll admit it. It's called Dungeon WC. I'll let you try to figure out what WC stands for. You play cooperatively to support your one hero who is trying to race through a dungeon in order to make it to the throne at the end.
Kind of thrown, Will.
And you have to, like, find certain things along the way as you go. So it's actually a dexterity game. You're revealing tiles in the game. The tiles might be a treasure chest, and you might get to gain some type of treasure. You need one specific type of treasure before you get to the end of the game.
Oh, my goodness. You are really blowing the proportions.
You might find monsters that you have to slay on your way as well, and you do that with dice rolling and with, like, revealing these token things. And then if you make it to the end, end, and you finally, it's like, it's a relief that you made it to the end of the dungeon. It's a 1 to 5 player game. It takes 2 to 5 minutes. You have a sand timer. You actually have to beat the sand timer in order to win the game. All kinds of goofy art, some hilarious, like, mummy dudes wrapped in toilet paper and just some creepy, hilarious stuff. It's a super fun, family, very light dexterity game. It's coming to Kickstarter October 22nd, and it's from, I actually still have not figured out how to say their name, Dracomaca.
There you go.
Dracomaca.
Dracomaca.
Check it out. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming October 23rd is After the End. This is a 1 to 5 player game from Antonin Baral from Exod Games, and it is a post-apocalyptic game set in Chicago, and it is a turn-based RPG action selection game, and it has it plays in about 45 to 90 minutes, depending on how long your team makes it through each scenario. It has a very large campaign book with over 30 hours of campaigns, all split up into those 45 to 90 minute scenarios. It's got some nice art. I was impressed with the box cover.
Yeah, it looks very cool.
Very cool looking. It's got miniatures. There's a lot of dice rolling to try and meet your objectives with the RPG style. You'll be moving through different locations and picking up stuff. So if you're into those types of RPG style of board gaming, you can check out After the End from Exod Games.
I'm not sure why I like this so much, but the minis in the game are like solid white on some of them, which is, you know, people are probably going to paint them anyway, but with the like ice capade theme of the entire thing. And by ice capade, I don't know what I mean.
Disney?
Yeah. No, it is not
frozen over aftermath of the earth.
Just let it go.
Yeah, yeah. The white minis look, oh, I see what you did. They just look really cool on the board. I don't know. Very nice aesthetic overall.
Kevin, what are you talking about?
October 23rd, Funforge is relaunching Monumental on Kickstarter. This is a civilization building game, and there's different mechanics, some resource gathering, some deck building. One of the cool things is, since it is a civilization building game, you are actually moving through different eras of civilization and civilizations, like, and the way you do that is through the cards that you're getting. So through those common pool of cards, you're going to be getting medieval cards. Then you're going to get more classical type cards. And so I think the cards will, of course, probably progress in your powers. But you're going to be gathering resources to get the cards to then build your deck the way you want it. There is some territory building, some territory management. I think it's a 3x3 grid. So it's for 1 to 4 players. It plays in about 1 hour to an hour and a half. And it's a relaunch from Funforge.
Cool.
So back to Sarah.
Also launching October 23rd is Zoography. And this is from Doomsday Robots with designers John Olson and Bryn Smith. And this is a 1 to 4 player tile placement game based on zoo creation. So you will be drafting tiles to construct your zoo, but you need to also balance drafting animals that come into your zoo. So you'll have to make sure and have pens ready for those coming in. And then you also have to keep your guests happy with other attractions at your zoo. There's not a ton of information out on this one, but they do have a print and play if you're interested in checking it out before the Kickstarter launches. And you can check that out on Board Game Geek. And that's Zoography from Doomsday Robots on October 23rd. Kevin.
So a few months ago, I was able to do a video about a game called Street Masters from Blacklist Games. And they are coming out with an expansion called Aftershock. And this is designed by Brady and Adam Sadler. We actually met Brady at Origins 2018 and got to have a meal with him and spend some time with him. And he loves designing games. And this game, Aftershock, is coming on October 23rd from Blacklist. And it'll be a reprint as well from Street Masters, the base game. And we actually have the twin brothers, Brady and Adam Sadler, as our next house guest. So let's welcome to the house.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for having us.
How's it going?
Absolutely. We are pumped to talk to you guys about some really cool stuff coming down the line. Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about your company, and then we'll jump into your Kickstarter right after that.
Sure. Adam, go ahead. You can do it.
Cool. Yeah. So Blacklist Games, while not our company, it's a publisher we work with. We've worked with them on a few other games, Street Masters and Brook City, and now a follow-up, Street Masters Aftershock. They're a new publisher. I think Street Masters was their first game. Their flagship game, and they signed us on for a contract to do that one, and it went really well. And they kind of let us have a lot of creative freedom in our designs, so we decided to do some more games with them and see how those go.
Yeah, we also designed for other publishers as well, like FFG and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've played Brook City. Really enjoyed that one. Love the just the concept behind it.
Awesome.
And I think, Kevin, did you get to play?
Yeah, I have Street Masters, and I enjoyed playing it.
Okay.
I haven't introduced it to Will, although he'd probably love it. We just haven't had time.
There's a lot of games out there.
So many good ones. Yeah. So where are those both at just currently as far as the Kickstarter process?
So Street Masters, the first wave fulfilled earlier this year. So everyone who backed it should have their copies. We just sold out of the remaining stock between Gen Con, and then after the convention, we put it on the web store and sold out the rest of the copies we had. So this upcoming Kickstarter is going to be – oh, thanks. This upcoming Kickstarter is going to be a reprint plus the expansion. So it'll get it all into retail so everybody can get their copies, you know, in stores and everything.
And we actually just had a really exciting update for Brook City today. Mass production is beginning. Everything's at the factory, and samples have been approved. So now they're hitting the print button, and it is right now. It's on schedule to be delivered by January, which is months ahead of schedule. So that's pretty exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always good to hear. Whenever you can be ahead of schedule, that way when you get stuck in customs for 3 months, you're
like, exactly.
Fingers crossed. We won't wish that at all. So tell us a little bit about Street Masters, and then run into that to the expansion.
Sure. So Street Masters is a cooperative miniatures fighting game. It's 1 to 4 players. It has a modular deck aspect, so all the combat is deck driven. The way we pitch it is the modular deck system that is built from, we use for Brook City also, where players have their own decks. You have a deck for the bad guy or the boss, and then you have a deck for the situation you're in. And in Street Masters, you have a stage with a map tile, and it kind of creates this retro feel of like an old arcade stage. You know, there's all kinds of environment things going on, and you can break stuff, and you can get hurt by stuff, and you pick a boss to fight off against. The boss has a bunch of minions that come out at you, and you use your custom unique deck, not custom, sorry, you have a unique fixed deck, and that kind of guides your fighter's tactics as he's playing through the battle.
And it's important to note that the stage deck actually determines the boss's objective. So your objective is to defeat the boss while he's trying to do something in the stage, and you're trying to prevent him from doing that.
Cool. So tell us what Aftershock is bringing to the table.
So Aftershock's going to have not only a big, huge box to keep everything in, it comes in a big storage box that holds all your Street Masters content, but it's going to have 4 new fighters, it's going to have 2 new enemy factions, it'll have 4 new stages, and it'll have 2 new modular elements, one of which is called the Mission Deck, that kind of gives you more player interaction and gives you other things to do on your turn. And then we have the enemy showdown decks, and those are like enemy stories that give the enemies upgrade cards. So that serves 2 purposes, where you can play, add an enemy faction to your campaign and have them level up as you do. And you could also just customize your arcade mode experiences by changing the challenge level of the enemy decks by customizing their decks with upgrade cards.
Cool. So you said earlier that this new campaign will also be a reprint of the base game?
Yes. Everything that we have done for Street Masters will be available in this Kickstarter. Since our inventory is completely sold out, we are using this as a chance to not only bring in new content for people who missed the first Kickstarter, to also let them get on the ground floor. They can get everything. So there's going to be a pledge level for the street map. Basically, there's going to be a pledge level for the first wave of Street Masters content, and there's going to be a pledge level for the new stuff, and then there's going to be a pledge level for both.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about the art. Is it the same artist doing both the original game and the expansion? Is that you guys? Who does you guys' art?
So we have there was a lot of art that came on board when we were brought into the project. So there are already some characters designed and everything. So we didn't have a whole lot of control over some of the first wave art. So there's a lot more like kind of Street Fighter aesthetics in the first wave for the first, like the core set and everything. But Adam and I have much more of a kind of a beat 'em up arcade background. So Aftershock, it's the same art team, but we had a lot more control over you know, the characters depicted and the storylines going on and everything like that. So we're getting more and more influence over just the IP in general. So we do have a lot of the same artists on staff, and Blacklist has their own art studio they contract through. So they have a huge team of artists that they work with. So there's some new and some old artists on staff still.
So what will there be stretch goals in the campaign, or is it just the base game with Aftershock without any stretch goals?
We do have a whole lot of cool stretch goals planned. Not exactly sure where it's kind of up in the air where this is going to go, because we just don't know what to expect. When after Street Masters was delivered, the first wave, there was just so many people coming up to us online saying, "I can't believe I missed this Kickstarter. This looks amazing. How did I miss this?" So we needed to find a way to get more this game into more people's hands. So this time we hired somebody to help out with the marketing. So we're trying to get the word out more to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Check out this Kickstarter. And we have planned out quite a lot of stretch goals. Just so
if it happens to blow up, we're ready for it. Just in case. We have a lot.
So are there like one or two that you can talk about that you're really excited about?
I think, well, one of the cool Kickstarter features we did release this, we kind of teased this, is if you pledge for Aftershock, you get the big box expansion, plus you get an exclusive expansion called Essence of Evil. And, while it's not a stretch goal, it's a good model for more content down the road in a similar, presentation where it's a new fighter, a new enemy deck, and two new stages. And it's kind of just a kind of a more like mini expansion almost, but it still has a ton of content in there as well.
And I will say that in the first Street Masters Kickstarter, there were a lot of what we call rival allies, characters that can be rivals and or allies throughout the stretch goals. And while that's a cool feature to the game, we wanted to do more exciting stretch goals. So there are definitely going to be different stretch goals, not just more rivals and allies.
Okay. Now, it's purely co-op. Is there going to be competitive play too, or is it?
Down the road, we're open to kind of exploring that territory. Right, for Aftershock, no, because Adam and I don't necessarily have much design interest in that ourselves, but we're open to kind of bring somebody on sometime if they want to provide a PvP variant or something. But I would think it excels at what it does, which is cooperative, so we don't want to mess with it too much.
I would personally rather just do a new game at that point, just because in my personal opinion I don't like to design games with different kinds of modes. I'd rather just design a game that excels at one thing that it's supposed to do really well.
So was Street Fighters your first big game? Did you have any other games that you've released with other publishers or?
We both started off at Fantasy Flight Games. My first big game was Descent Second Edition. When I was a lead designer on that. And we both worked on various projects at FFG, but when we left and finally got to start designing games together, our first published co-design was Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game.
Yeah. We should say that we worked on a lot of projects as developers at FFG, but they wouldn't let us design a game together because we were
so they were was that on purpose or wait?
They didn't trust you.
Well, at the time, after I did Descent, I was promoted to manager. So it was kind of, you couldn't have your manager. Couldn't have your brother managing you, so
I couldn't be working under Adam. So we worked on projects kind of next to each other, like adjacently. But once we we got to do full, we did our Warhammer Quest was our first co-design, and since then we've only ever really co-designed stuff together. So,
as brothers, you're now designing together. Do you feel like that's working well? What are some of the pluses and minuses?
I want to know about
the minuses.
The minuses, it's because it's your brother and you have to work with your brother. So
there's like those times where your emotions get kind of carried away because it's really easy to yell at your brother and not think about it as much, because it's your brother. But after a while, it kind of
goes. Well, especially your twin brother. Like, we're twins.
Oh, what?
But yeah, the pros are, we've done almost everything creatively throughout our lives, together. We've been in bands together. We've done all kinds of creative projects. So we know how to work with each other. We know what to expect. And we play off each other very well. Like, for example, when we start a new project, Adam doesn't want to get his hands dirty with a bunch of failed iterations of something, and I do. So I'll just design 40 versions of something and have them all flop, and he'll be like, that one works. And he'll pick the one out that works, and we'll roll with that.
Cool. That's awesome when you can bounce off of each other like that. Are you guys going to be at any more cons this year?
Not this year, I don't. Oh, well, but there's a chance I think we might be at BGGCon, I think. But next year, I think Blacklist is planning on making a much bigger circuit of the cons, because depending on how Aftershock does, we might have enough product to have reason to have presence to all the cons.
Yeah, if Blacklist's Kickstarters keep doing progressively better as they've done with us, then they're going to start scheduling us for more things.
Cool. Do you guys already have any top secret stuff in the works? Like, what's the next thing? Have you started talking about that?
We do have a top secret thing. I wish we could talk about it, but
what we can say is we should be able to talk about it during the Kickstarter. So toward the tail end of Aftershock, we should be able to tease the next project, which we're really excited about. But cool. Because of other contract issues, we can't say it out loud.
So Aftershock will launch on Kickstarter October 23rd, correct?
Correct, yep.
And this episode goes live on the 22nd, so if you're listening to this, check out Aftershock, the expansion to Street Masters, coming out tomorrow from the Sadler Brothers, published by Blacklist Games.
Tell us where we can find you guys at on the web.
You can find me at Brady J. Sadler on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook a lot. And on BGG, I'm Stray Knife.
I am on Twitter as Adam B. Sadler. On Facebook, I'm also on Facebook. And on BGG, I believe my username is Cerinthian. But yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Cool stuff. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us. We wish you the best of luck on your campaign. Keep us in the loop. Let us know how stuff comes together for you guys.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, guys.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye!
Very cool having those guys on the show. I wish you guys the best of luck on your campaign. I'm sure you'll do well. If you sold out of that first copy, then obviously there's a lot of people that are excited and want to get a hold of this. So thumbs up on producing some really cool stuff, you guys. Talking about really cool stuff. We've got some timeout action coming from Larry. I think this week he's tried to kind of refine his ways a little bit. Instead of picking on the girls' favorite games, mm-hmm. He might have gone for mine. Let's see. We'll throw it over to Larry's Tanner House timeout.
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
This week on the timeout, we're looking at Super Mario Brothers Power-Up Card Game by USAopoly, but don't let that title fool you. It should read Super Mario Brothers Nostalgic Cash Grab Total Lucky Draw Card Game. The description promises that you'll need your wits and deduction skills, but I say the only wits you'll need is to avoid wasting your money on this pack of paper. You literally draw a card, try and trade cards, then hope you don't have the lowest score of the round. What? How on earth is this anything like the video game legend that shaped the lives of millions around the globe over the years? The designers of this game should be ashamed for carelessly slapping the grand poobah of video games on a cheap pack of cards. According to board game geeker Douche Jack, they could have just copied Uno and slapped Mario on it, and it would be better than this activity. Well said, Deuce. Well said. The only saving grace for this game is Mario, so I give it 1 star. But you know what? I can look at Mario by actually playing Mario, so no stars for you, USAopoly. No stars. Ugh, I'm done. Hey, if you have a game you'd like to hear on the timeout, leave it in the comment section or let us know on Facebook.
What? Are you sure, Larry? I mean, Super Mario Brothers.
I don't know. You said this attacks
childhood
you.
Classic.
Also, I played a lot of Mario.
You probably played more Mario than I did.
I definitely have.
You definitely
I've beat
have.
Most of them.
Yes. Have you played the Super Mario Brothers card game?
I actually haven't.
I think I have played it. It's been a while. Larry might be right.
Yeah. It's cool that the art is reminds
super
you
super retro.
Yeah, reminds you of the game. I mean, the components are fine. It's little like level up cards with the pipes and coins
and
stuff
the
8-bit like that.
Graphics all over the place. I do love the nostalgia of it. I think if you're looking for like a really light entry level party quick filler.
But think about the difference between Oregon Trail the card game to Oregon Trail the board game.
Right.
and how much better the Oregon Trail board game was.
So yeah. maybe this will motivate someone to make a real
there we go.
Super Mario Brothers
See, there
side
it is.
Scroller.
There it is.
I feel like, what was east to west, north to south, above and below? New one.
Yeah, Near and Far.
Near and Far.
That is a pretty cool take on, no, it's not Near and Far. What's the new King?
Megaland.
Yeah, that has a very side scroller video game
yeah, like
feel
Megaland.
To it.
Yeah.
I think he just needs to get Mario's licensing and then.
There we
boom,
go.
Be crazy.
Then we can't see his really cool art.
That's true. But he could do a really cool Mario version.
There we go. I'm sure.
Maybe this is our chance to make an awesome game.
Just
as much
Mario.
As we love...
Who
we can
Mario?
Talk to USA
Nintendo?
Opera.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk to USA Opera. They did this game.
Yeah, yeah. And do it again. All right.
We'll talk to Jake.
Yeah, vote on that, you guys. All right, so I think we got one other cool little tidbit to talk about.
Yeah.
We got something in the mail.
Got something in the mail. This is an official number two
postcard.
Katie, you're missing out. You leave the show, and then all the postcards come flooding in.
So.
And this one's from the Czech Republic.
Whoa. Wow. International postcard.
So
I had to sign for this.
So this is actually, intern Dan actually brought us to the realization of what this postcard's all about. You can't see it, but on this postcard, there is a cool like fighter jet with explosions happening all around. And all of a sudden, there's this huge whale.
But what kind of
whale flying
is that?
Flying
whale? It's probably a blue whale.
It's flying in the sky it's around like these. And they're like war, like what is that, World War One?
Yeah, World War
fighter
War
jets.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's from...
Time Slug Studio.
Yeah.
And Jinrik? I'm not sure
We're gonna just murder that name. But anyway, we...
Pavlovsek.
Thank you for sending this postcard. This... Intern Dan said, is because they are coming out with a game called
Whales Destroying the World,
which we'll talk about on a future episode.
Yeah, pretty cool looking card game. So,
since it's the end of our episode,
mm-hmm.
we have to give our Kickstarter of the week for our listeners.
So we've released our Tantrum Kick of the Week for like, I don't know, maybe a year now.
Yeah.
And we decided to kind of step up our game on that front. We are obviously huge supporters of Kickstarter. We love what they're doing for our hobby. We love what they did for our game SteamCourt.com, if you haven't checked that out yet. And we just enjoy meeting creators and talking with people who are in this industry. And so we love to support that concept, that crowdfunding idea. And so we pick a game each week, and we're going to kind of just step up our game on that a little bit more and be incredibly, incredibly strategic about it by asking people on Facebook to vote.
No, we're going to be more strategic in that we're going to have a process that on our podcast a week ahead of time, we actually have to pick our Kickstarter of the week instead of like the day after whatever.
When we remember it. Yeah, yeah. So we like we said, we've been doing this for a while, and we would love to just be intentional about it, pick some really good campaigns out there that deserve the support of you guys, the industry, the people that are playing the games. And so we're going to start, smacking a seal on our game and putting it out there. We'll talk about it on the podcast. We'll give you guys a heads up. And this week...
We narrowed it down to two.
We did. And we couldn't... We voted amongst ourselves.
It was both very good-looking games.
It was girls against guys.
So the girls were choosing which game?
Skulk Hollow from Pencil First Games.
And the guys chose...
I can't remember the name.
Street Masters Aftershock, which is an expansion to Street Masters. So we said, why don't we throw it to our Facebook watchers?
Who are live right now.
Live, and we actually got a few votes in,
yeah.
And they're all for one of the games. All
right.
And the winner is... Skulk Hollow, that's the first games. So we will let Ed Baraff know.
Yep, very
and
cool.
Email him, Sarah.
Excellent
email
stuff.
Him.
I will email him in the morning.
Wonderful.
We'll get some words out to him, and we will post it on social media next week when this podcast goes live. We did want to talk about a couple more before we wrap
before
it
we
up.
Say, before we say goodbye to our podcast listeners.
Yeah, we got a couple still in shrink wrap.
So
what?
So back at Gen Con, we saw this be released before like very few people were able to get it, and we were just so busy with other things, we said... Oh, maybe we'll get it sometime. Well, Simon
over here, like reaching for, like, give me it, I want it.
So Simon reached out to us and said, "We're sending you Newton."
Yeah.
Newton.
And then, so that's originally designed from Cranio Creations, and Simon is now publishing it
And did you get a chance to look at it?
And is it the same designers as Lorenzo,
and Simon Luciani? Yeah,
I have not played it yet, but it's basically about 18th century scientific discoveries, and it's a Euro
sounds
game.
Sounds like a dry Euro.
Probably
it basically has Melissa's
pushing.
Name written yep. on the back where it's
They also sent us the Railroad Inc., which we talked about earlier in the
yes.
episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed
a lot of
that
fun
one.
On that one.
And then Melissa and I actually saw a prototype of Blue Moon City from CMON at CMON Expo
last year
in May.
Okay.
So just a few months ago. Well,
okay.
almost 6 months ago at this point. And they sent that as well. So we have some more reviews to come out.
We do?
Yeah, so, and yeah. Blue Moon's a reprint, correct,
yeah.
of an older game.
Yeah, it's a Reiner Knizia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got a bunch more coming because intern Dan and myself just shot a review tonight, so that'll be coming out. It's a Kickstarter coming up. Mm-hmm. Sarah and I shot a couple this weekend.
Yep.
You guys have probably shot a dozen.
I know,
a lot. So many good games coming out. And we will be here to tell you all about them next week. Thanks so much for joining us. We will see you all next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
All right, who's getting us started? Kevin?
Yeah, I can start. We are going to start with... I don't want to start.
Fail.
Who wants to start?
I will start
Unless
with...
Unless weird. Should Melissa start?
Okay, Melissa, go ahead.
All right, so I'll restate just that one part.
I love Gizmos, but even after demoing it probably over...
Hundreds of times?
Yeah, I am not that good at it.
Oh.
I still
Poor
lose.
Sarah.
Even though
still,
I know all the tricks
but you still
to winning.
Enjoy it?
I still enjoy
okay,
it.
Okay, that's good.
I'll play
that's
that one
key.
Even though I lose.
That's probably the reason you enjoy it. Like, if you're really good at it and destroy people every time, it gets less fun, I think.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of games I don't like anymore because I just destroy everyone.
Mm.
Man, that doesn't even make it into the podcast.
Oh, yeah.